Let the record show that at about 4 minutes to three, we started our transportation committee. And House members present were Gruenberg, Munoz, Dugan, and Wilson. And our staff here today is Kathy Hemingway. And our House Recording Secretary is Skywalker. And my committee aide is Becky Rooney. And before, remember to shut off your cell phones, please. We have two bills today, and first we're going to hear Senate Bill 148, limiting state liability on federal highways. And following that, we'll bring up Senate Bill 59, low-speed vehicles. And let's see, would Senator Kukesh's office, Dorothy Shockley, come forward and present Senate Bill 148.
Thank you. Dorothy Shockley with Senator Albert Kukesh's office. Thank you for hearing the bill, CSSB 148. Senate Bill 148 will resolve the issues of liability to the state or employees of the state when partnering with federally recognized tribes under the Indian Reservation Roads Program. With decline in state and federal highway funds, it's imperative we collaborate and work together. This bill will assist the partnering process and ultimately benefit all Alaskans by leading a long-term improvement in the state's overall transportation infrastructure. And as DOT prepares for the next step, for the first time, tribes can bring forth matching and maintenance funds, so that's important. And I enclosed in your packets support letters from DOT, the Manly Village Council, and the Ruby Village Council. Manly also has a resolution. And I also enclosed two lists from 2008. One is allocations for the villages in the state and the approximate amount of money that they'll receive. And the other list is a more detailed list, and it provides shares per mile in the community's inventory and shares per population. That's how they calculate and the amount of money the villages are going to be getting. And I've also enclosed the synopsis of that DOT prepared, and it gives you an overview of the program, the road inventory funding, and how that's calculated. And roads included are owned by Alaska and U.S. Fish and Wildlife or Forest Services, local governments. And for a while, the state was involved, but they're no longer involved in the inventory process. And just a couple of highlights. It gives examples of IR funding for Alaska tribes. And use of IR fundings by tribes, and they can use up to 25% maintenance and match to other federal funds, and can also use it for design and construction. And what else is in the synopsis? Oh, impact of stimulus funds to Alaska tribes. It's approximately $35 million this year, $35 to $40 million. And the role that the department the department is in the IRA program, and they're just, you know, wanting to work more closely together, and this will resolve the liability issue that kind of has been holding up some of the programs. So with that, I thank you and ask for your support. Mary from DOT is here, and also Mark if you have technical questions.
Okay, this is for, it's for that the native tribes can put some of their people to working on DOT transportation issues. Is that what
yeah.
it is?
Yeah.
Okay. And this bill is to say that the state isn't liable for any of the work that you do.
Right.
Okay. All right. And is the I would like the department to come up and at least just say where they stand on this bill.
For the record, my name is Mary Sirocki, and I'm the Special Assistant to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. Through the chair, the department is supportive of this bill. We actually asked Representative Kukesh to carry this piece of legislation for the department. So we believe that by having this piece of legislation, our ability to partner with tribes will be made much easier, and that they can start to build some of the technical skills and the infrastructure necessary to take care of their own roads.
Okay. Thank you, Mary. Any questions for Mary? Seeing none, thank you. Is there, I don't have anybody online that would like to testify. Is there anybody online? Nope. Anybody in the room that would like to testify? So that means public testimony has been open and closed.
I'm sure can I ask.
Representative Johnson.
May I ask Mary to come back up if I could?
Sure. State your name again.
For the record, my name is Mary Sirocki, Special Assistant to the Commissioner of the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities.
Yeah, and I apologize for my tardiness, Madam Chairman. If you could clarify for me, it waives the state's liability on someone working on a project on federal land?
No. Through the chair, Representative Johnson, it clearly identifies that when a tribe is working on a road using their IRR money, they're liable for those actions. And then the state would remain liable for underlying design of the road if that were to be the problem. And we made clear that should the state park a truck on the road that they were working on, that the state would be liable for that accident should that occur.
Follow up, Representative Johnson.
Thank you. And so, thank you, Madam Chair. Are we compensated for that design work through the federal government somehow, or how does that work? I mean, if we're designing it and we're responsible, are we getting anything in return for that liability?
Through the chair, Representative Johnson, the example I used would be a situation where we had already built the road and the tribe was choosing to do the maintenance on it. If we were to be sued in that instance, if we were to be sued and part of the suit were to say that the curve was too sharp, that issue would remain a DOT issue. If the suit was that the road was too icy and wasn't maintained appropriately, that would be a tribal issue.
Madam Chair.
Follow up.
And I understand that. But my question is, when it's an existing road, but we have no compensation for that existing road ever? I mean, when we built it, was it federal money that built it? How exactly? I mean, we have liability, obviously. And how are we... And we're self-insured, so we're on the hook for it. So I guess my question is, what's the upside?
What's the upside of this legislation? Through the chair, Representative Johnson, this allows us to access the millions of dollars that the tribes are bringing to the table in terms of federal highway dollars. They are getting a specific allocation through the safety lieu legislation for tribes. And I believe it's about $38 million just in the economic stimulus. So the types of situations we envision having the tribes take over would be perhaps the maintenance of a state road in their specific village. We might also see on the reverse that they will provide some of their IRR funding to a project that we're doing, and we can then get the total amount of money we need to do. So we really see this as an ability to partner back and forth.
Okay, and thank you, Madam Chair. I just didn't want to assume a liability without there being something on the other side. So
I'm just passing out a correspondence we got, if I could. And Madam Chair, if I may inquire.
Yeah.
Mary, Ms. Sirocki, as I understand it, the state's liability is governed by existing statutes already. This does not affect that liability, and it does not affect people's ability to receive compensation for negligence caused by the tribe. They would simply proceed under the Federal Tort Claims Act.
Through the chair, Representative Grunberg, that's my understanding. We have our AG Peter Putzier here, if you would like a more legal explanation of that, but that is my understanding.
Yeah, I just want to put that on the record, Madam Chair.
We've actually had some of this cooperation in some of our communities already. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative Munoz.
Madam Chair, also I wanted to note for the record that the DOT, as far as I understand, is working on an MOA, Memorandum of Understanding, with the tribes of Alaska, all over Alaska, to determine those responsibilities and opportunities to work together.
Through the chair, Representative Munoz, you're correct, and the liability issue was always the biggest sticking point, so this takes that out of that process and clearly puts it in statute.
Okay. Any more questions? All right. I believe we have an amendment before us.
Okay.
Representative Munoz?
Thank you, Madam Chair. It does not have a number on it. Does it need to be numbered?
Number one.
Okay. I'd like to move amendment number one, which would delete two words at the bottom of the first page, line 14, the words "due to" at the very end of that sentence. This was brought to my attention by Senator Kukesh as a means to make the sentence flow and to make more sense, actually. The syntax is better, and it reduces the ambiguity in the sentence. It's a very simple amendment.
Okay. Not hearing any objections, did you move the amendment?
I'm sorry. I'd like to move amendment number one.
I'll object just to hear from the sponsors if they, on the record.
This is Dorothy Shockley again from Senator Kukesh's office, and we support the amendment and have no problem with it.
Thank you. I'll remove my objection.
Okay. Hearing no other objection, amendment passes. Amendment number one passes. I'm ready for a motion on the bill. Representative Munoz.
Thank you. I'd like to move CS for Senate Bill 148, and the version is 26LS0685/S, as amended with individual fiscal note. I believe it's a zero. Is there a fiscal note on this?
I didn't see one.
Without a fiscal note. Okay.
No, there's a fiscal note.
Was there? Zero. Okay, with the attached zero fiscal note.
Oh, there it is.
Okay. Hearing no objection, so moved. All right. Let's go to House Bill, or Senate Bill. Our next agenda item is Senate Bill 59, version W, low-speed vehicles. Senate Bill 59 would allow low-speed vehicles to drive on roads with a maximum speed limit of 45 miles an hour, up from the current maximum limit of 35. We heard the House version of this bill in this committee on April 8th. And would you like to make any comments for the bill sponsor?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. For the record, Weston Eiler, staff to Senator Bert Stedman. Senate Bill 59 was amended on the Senate floor, and I believe you have a working draft for a CS in front of you.
Okay. Would somebody like to move the?
I'll move that.
Okay.
Madam Chair, and I want to make sure we're talking about what it is, 26LS0280W.A?
No.
Okay. Then I.
It's. House CS for Senate Bill number 59, version N.
Thank you. Then I have that. I do have that in front of me. Thank you, Madam Chair. Sorry.
And, Weston, go ahead. And if you have comments on the on the committee substitute.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This, the committee substitute before you incorporates many of the provisions that Senator Stedman has worked extensively with the Department of Transportation on. This has gone through several committee hearings in the other body, and many of the additions, notably on line 11, population of less than 35,000, as well as the last section on page 2, incorporates many of the concerns that members of this committee had during the hearings of the companion legislation, SB 59. This is an issue that's been before the committee before. This bill is largely mirrors its House companion, and I'd be happy to take any questions you might have.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Johnson.
Thank you. Can you explain the difference in the CS and what passed off the floor of the Senate, just for the record?
Of course. Through the chair, Representative Johnson, the version of Senate Bill 59 that passed the Senate floor was amended to the amendment that was done to Senate Bill 59 on the Senate floor would allow the expansion of low-speed vehicles in high-traffic areas in Anchorage and Fairbanks. It would allow these communities to opt in and allow low-speed vehicles in 45-mile-an-hour roads in what the department considered fairly precarious urban areas where congestion and safety would be a large issue. The compromise version that was reached in the Senate, and I believe in some of the other committees, was that this expansion, again only expanding the use of these vehicles, would be limited to areas off the road system, so not directly connected to Anchorage or Fairbanks by road. That was undid in the version that passed the Senate, and so the CS before you basically reenacts that kind of compromise in expanding the use of the vehicles.
Okay, and then this was because DOT, because there was such a larger flow of traffic, deemed it was really quite unsafe in areas where the traffic flow was so vast.
That's correct, Madam Chair. Currently, low-speed vehicles, which top out at 25 miles an hour, are allowed to travel statewide on roads that have a speed limit of 35 miles an hour. What this bill would do is to facilitate the growing use of these vehicles, allow them to travel on roads with 45 miles an hour, but that disparate speed, 20 miles an hour difference, raised some concerns for the department and others in the legislature, and so that expansion was limited to areas off the road system in communities with 35,000 people or less.
Okay. Any other questions? Representative Johansson.
Yeah, I wasn't quite clear on why we have a House CS. Are you telling me that the House CS that we have in front of us is putting language back in that was taken out on the Senate floor? Is that what I was led to believe?
Through the chair, Representative Johansson, that's correct.
Okay. Have fun on concurrence, I guess.
Representative Johnson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I appreciate it, and it's not a lack of trust, but I would like the department on the record to say that they are in support of this, because concurrence is a concern for me as well. And I'm assuming the sponsor is in total agreement with the CS before the transportation comes up?
Through the chair, Representative Johnson, that's correct.
Okay. Would the department please come?
And before we go.
Okay. You got another one?
Yeah. And I don't know.
Johnson.
I don't know how appropriate this is or not, but what was the vote on the floor for this amendment?
It's not appropriate.
through the chair, Representative Johnson, I wanted
you rule that out of order.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's not going to be.
Well, Madam Chair, and let me just ask the reason: if there was enough support in the Senate that we send something back over, and it's not concurred with, and they have enough to not concur, are we killing this whole piece of legislation that I think has got a lot of value? And I'd hate to be in a situation where we doom it to death.
Well,
so that's my only concern about knowing what the situation was. And I understand I'm out of order, but it's a concern that.
Well, I don't want to move a bill out of this committee that the department is definitely against. And so that's kind of where I'm coming from. We usually check to see where the department is, and usually if the department is against it, we either work a compromise or something like that. And so the sponsor of the, in fact, this committee substitute was taken care of by the sponsor, so.
And Madam Chair, and I appreciate that, and nor do I, and I think the version that we passed out was perfect, and it came back not like that, and now the CS is like that, so I'm just wanting to try to get a handle on what we're doing here, and are we, the sponsor may support it, and the department may support it, but I don't think the department support should dictate the vote of this committee. I appreciate where you're coming from. I certainly wouldn't want to do something that's counter, but I would like to go a little bit down the road with your permission or rule me out of order. But I do think we are talking, there was a vote. I mean, was it 19-1? Thank you.
I will allow you to tell me what the vote was. I understand what you're saying.
Okay, yeah.
Through the chair, Representative Johnson, I will check the actual record to make sure I have the count. I can follow up with you directly. The amendment, my understanding, was fairly widely adopted, and then the bill passed unanimously from the other body as amended. So,
Madam Chair,
Representative Johansson.
Thank you. My senator is often misunderstood, yet I have faith in his strategy. Thank you.
And Representative Bloomberg.
This is a slightly different point, if I may. It looks to me, and this is something I didn't catch when the Wilson bill was back earlier, under sub A, in order to qualify, you need to do all three things. It must be a population of less than 35, it must not be connected by road to Anchorage or Fairbanks, and it must have passed an ordinance. And if you do, you can either do A within a municipality or B within the unorganized borough. And I would just feel more comfortable if we made that very clear by having an and after the semicolon on line 13 and having an or after the semicolon on line 1 of page 2. And I'm wondering if the sponsor would, or the lawyer would have any objection if we did that. I'd ask them both through the chair.
Mr. Putzier. I think that's probably a friendly amendment.
Right. Through the, if I may, Madam Chair, section B, if I could just speak to the reasoning or if there's any confusion in the language there. Section B was basically laid out to allow for expansion of the use of these vehicles in areas of the unorganized boroughs such as Prince of Wales that are not connected to the road system. So that's the reason for this section right there. So there are areas that are not immediately connected to the roads,
and
different parts
through
of the
chair.
Unorganized
and borough. The purpose of my amendment is just to make that clear. Yeah. So I would offer an amendment to the CS that after the semicolon on line 13, page 1, we would insert the word and then after the semicolon on line 1 of page 2, we would put the or. And regardless of whether there's a drafting manual issue there, I want this so clear that we can all understand it.
I'm going to object for discussion. And in that case, I think I would like to say that probably we should have an and after the semicolon on 11?
No. If there are three, you just put them under the second one.
Okay.
So, no, we don't need that. That, as a matter of law, would be read as part of the conjunctive.
All right.
Madam Chair.
Representative Johansson.
No, go ahead. No, go right ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't.
That's fine.
I'm pretty simple. Anchorage or Fairbanks is pretty clear to me, so I'm not sure whether there's an opening at Ledge Legal.
No.
or not, but I'm comfortable with the language in the bill. Thank you.
Okay. And Representative Dugan?
Thank you, Madam Chair. A question for the sponsor's representative here. I've read this as carefully as I can, and I think the only substantive difference between CS for Senate Bill Number 59, Transportation Amended, which I believe is the bill that got here, and the House Committee Substitute is this provision has a population of less than 35,000. Am I reading that correctly? Is there another substantive difference between those two bills?
Through the chair, Representative Dugan, the other addition that you'll notice on the very bottom of page one of the transportation amended that came over in the CS, it removes the word authorized. If you'll notice, that's in brackets on page two of the CS. That was reflective of to mirror some amendments that were made to the House companion during an earlier hearing and some concerns of the department with the phrase authorized, if that would encumber them to do further review that was necessary. It's largely technical and has no real effect, right, but just in phrasing.
Yes, I appreciate that clarification, but the actual substantive difference is language we've seen before, I believe, this 35,000 or less.
Through the chair, Representative Dugan, that's correct.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any other comments? Representative Johnson.
Madam Chair, I just want to make sure that the record is clear that I do not support electric vehicles in cities like Anchorage and Fairbanks. So I'm not arguing the point that I think we should go back to the original version. I just was concerned about this becoming law and not getting wrapped up in a committee. So I want to make sure that the CS that I have before me, I totally support, but I just want to make sure that we're not going to end up in a conference committee that doesn't get this bill law passed.
Did you get the vote?
It doesn't matter.
It's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. Madam Chair, it really doesn't.
I'm sorry. I through the chair, Representative Johnson, I'd be happy to follow up with you afterwards. I didn't have a chance to.
Did you?
Yeah. Madam Chair, I'm pretty sure I won't be on the conference committee, so I'm fine with passing it out. So,
Representative,
was there any objection to the amendment?
Yeah, I had an objection to the amendment, and I will remove that objection, I guess. Any other objection?
No.
Okay, hearing none, the amendment passed. And that adds a and on line 13 after the semicolon and an or on line 1 on page 2 after the semicolon. All right. We do have some people online that would like to, or at least one person that would like to comment on this. So I will open up public testimony. And Megan Pasternak in Sitka, are you online, Megan? Megan, are you online?
Yeah, I'm here. They've got me unmuted now. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead and give us your testimony, starting with your name and your affiliation.
Thank you. This is Megan Pasternak here in Sitka, and I am an electric vehicle owner and driver. And thank you again for holding another hearing on SB 59. And it would be great if we could get this passed this session, as it will still take a little work and time to have it approved by the individual municipalities. You've already heard most of my comments regarding my wholehearted approval of this bill. However, I do think that low-speed vehicles should be allowed in all communities with that opt-in provision, of course. Larger communities still have 35 mile per hour pockets where they could be driven, and the same with municipalities that are connected to those larger communities. Also, some have expressed concern that electric vehicle owners will not be paying their share of road building and upkeep since we are not buying fuel and paying the highway taxes. But let me reassure you that I, for one, have absolutely no objections to having a fee placed on electric vehicles to make up for any deficits you might believe we cause. I really don't think my 1,200-pound car does as much damage to the roads as those who drive around much of the year with studs on their tires or the overloaded dump trucks seen all up and down our roads here in Sitka. I would take my car to Juneau on the ferry for you to all experience, but it is not possible to make it from the ferry terminal to downtown without traversing higher-speed roads. I invite you to look me up if you get to Sitka, and I will gladly meet you and let you drive and examine the car. If you have any questions for me regarding my particular make of car, which is a Zen, please feel free to ask them. Thank you.
Thank you, Megan. And I want everybody to know I've ridden in Megan's car, and it's pretty neat. So, and Megan, by the way, they still, anywhere in the state, they still can drive the low-speed vehicles on 35 mile an hour of roads.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, okay. All right, any questions for Megan? Thank you very much, Megan. Is there anyone else online that would like to testify? Anyone in the room that would like to testify? Okay, I'm going to close testimony. Whoops. Oh, I'm sorry. Are you sure? I didn't see you. I'm sorry. You're more than welcome to come up. Okay. All right, then I'm going to close testimony. And Representative Munoz.
I can move the bill if you're ready.
All right.
Yes.
We are ready.
Okay. I'd like to move CS for Senate Bill 59. Version N, with individual recommendations and
amended.
Zero fiscal note.
And that was House CS as amended.
Oh, House CS as amended. Yes.
Okay. Any hearing no objections, so moved. Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate, after a long session today, you being willing to come down and hear the committee and. So thank you very much, and if we have any more bills.
Can I just say one thing?
Yes.
Thank you for running a very great process this session. I've really enjoyed being a part of this committee.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, you think we're done?
Well, I think we are, but you never know. So thank you very much, and we will be adjourned.